This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Now, that was the bad news about some foundational truths of DEI, ugly race war stuff. That was last hour. This hour, I have more good news. Things that you're doing that are working out there. We'll talk about that. We'll touch a little bit on that congressional hearing from today where they were interviewing the guy, poor Todd Lyons with ICE, the ICE director. He went through it. We'll get to emails. Scott Wiener in California had something odd to say. All that and so much more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's talk about this. You're not going to, as we already discussed, you're not going to change the heart of the committed communist, whoever that may be. You're just not. Hopefully they wake up one day. You can maybe help them along in that, but your liberal Aunt Peggy is what she is. But one of the most damaging things the communists took over in this country was corporate America. In fact, Chris, I should have told you to do this during the break, but it just occurred to me. Go do me a favor and find that Klaus Schwab clip about stakeholders, where he's talking about stakeholders, before Chris plays the James Bond movie villain Klaus Schwab. Allow me to explain something the communists figured out a while ago. In fact, I'm going to use Katie Porker in California as a kind of a jumping off point for this, and she seems like she'd actually be a very stable foundation to jump off from. Katie Porker is running for governor of California. She got up and she had this to say.
We have failed over and over again in this country to invest in childcare, and we are leaving approximately $1.6 trillion of economic productivity and budget growth on the table because we are not doing what other countries are doing, which is treating childcare.
What's that mean? We're leaving $1.6 trillion on the table. Well, you know exactly what it means if you have a brain. There's $1.6 trillion in the private sector we haven't stolen yet. We haven't confiscated $1.6 trillion. And if we confiscate that $1.6 trillion from people who have earned it, if we, the government, come in and strong-arm that out of their wallets, then, using what they earned, we can pay for whatever we want. Now, what an odd way to look at life until you realize this. The communist, as he was rising from being a street animal to taking positions of government, and as he was doing all these things, the communist figured something out. The corporate world, wherever that corporate world may be, we'll focus on America, but wherever the corporate world is, the corporate world has incredible power. And the power of the corporate world comes from their visibility and their money. I mean, honestly, the government doesn't make anything. All the money is from the corporate world. All of it. The corporate world makes all the money. All that money. We have a $20 trillion economy. $20 trillion is flowing through the corporations. And the corporations themselves, if they're run correctly, certainly a publicly traded company, what do they have? They have a board. And that board has to sit down and they have to figure out how to spend all the money that's flowing through there. Now, traditionally, any business, large or small, whether it be a big Fortune 500 company or maybe your small business somewhere, any business, it would use its money to do what? To make more money. That's the idea. And of course, I don't know how you make your money. Maybe you're in sales. Maybe you need to do more advertising. Maybe you need to hire somebody new. Maybe, but whatever. But you would always figure out how to spend your money to help the business, right? Oh, that was right up until the point the communists figured something out. That money, all that money that's flowing into a business. Coca-Cola. I love to use them just because everyone knows what it is. That money that's flowing into Coca-Cola. Well, Coca-Cola is using that money for Coca-Cola. But if we infiltrate, if we get into HR, because that's where all the angry single lesbians go, and then from HR, if we start packing the boardroom full of committed communists, then what we can do is we can take that money in from Coke, and then when it comes time to send that money out, we send the money out to the revolution. The communists figured out a way to steal from the corporate world and have corporate America fund the revolution. Now, before I play Klaus Schwab, I need to explain what he says, not just because of his stupid accent. Shareholders, a publicly traded company, its obligation, the fiduciary, what a great word, the fiduciary duty of the board is to reward the shareholders. If I own stock in Coca-Cola, the shareholders work for me. The board works for me. Their job in everything they do should be aimed at increasing the price of my shares, making my shares worth more, making the company worth more. Now, if you want them to stop doing that, then what you have to do is you have to change the language. Communists change the language. So instead of working for shareholders, we need to make sure these corporations are working for stakeholders. Now, what is the difference between a shareholder and a stakeholder? A shareholder is anyone who owns shares in the company. A stakeholder is everyone. It's not that Coca-Cola should reward me, the shareholder. Coca-Cola has all this money. Coca-Cola has all this influence, TV commercials, billboards. Coca-Cola should work for everyone, you see? Stakeholders. The former head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, he laid it out exactly how they think.
James, welcome. Do you like the island?
Chris.
My grandmother.
That's not the... Turn it off. That's not the right Bond villain. That was Jewish producer Chris. I didn't do that. Can we please play Klaus Schwab? Go ahead, Chris.
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with the social responsibility.
Stakeholder capitalism that, of course, is combined with social responsibility. Hey, Coca-Cola, I don't want to hear this nonsense about treating your shareholders well. Everyone's a stakeholder, and don't you have a social responsibility, Coke? We have a Black Lives Matter riot coming up. I could use some Coca-Cola money. And why would they do this? Well, they had dirty rats like Larry Fink of BlackRock. He made them.
One thing we're asking companies, you have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added 4 more points in terms of diverse employment this year. You know, what we are doing internally is if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay?
We're doing the same thing.
And so it's just, you have to force behaviors.
Yeah, we got it. Now, that was all the bad news, and that was the motivation behind it. Have you ever heard of the Human Rights Campaign? HRC is what it's short for. I know this is long and complicated. There's a lot of details. I swear we'll screw off in emails in a moment. The Human Rights Campaign is one of the most evil organizations ever. It's a huge LGBTQ demon mob group. It was essentially the mafia. It still exists. It runs exactly like the mafia does. You know, hey, Bob, I'm going to need 10% of your take or I'll break your legs, that kind of a thing. The HRC did the political version of that to companies all over the place. They walk into your boardroom and they say, hey, I'm going to need your disclosure at the end of every year. I created this. I'm going to need to know just how many LGBTQ demons you put into positions of power in your company, and then I'll give you a score. And you better score pretty well, pal, or we're going to put you on blast nationally as hating the gays. And corporate America bent the knee because they were afraid. But not anymore. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. We'll get to emails in a moment. I'm going to finish this up because there's just really good things happening out there. The Human Rights Campaign. You may remember back to things like this. This is, Human Rights Campaign is the large communist front group. Hey, your company's not gay enough. We're giving you a bad score. This is them from 2024.
We can't just worry about protecting democracy. In this moment, we've got to reimagine it with people that look and love like us at the center. And I think for us right now, it's about reimagining freedom and this American story in a way that is more revolutionary than what our founders actually put down on that little piece of paper, but instead is the type of democracy that is by and for all of the people of this country. That's the opportunity that we have.
Another little side note, always remember, whenever the communist says reimagine, he means destroy. Whatever he is talking about reimagining, it's a new word they came up with. They love to use that word. I'm going to reimagine this. I'm going to reimagine that. That always just means destroy. Anyway, that's the Human Rights Campaign. I know maybe have never heard of this group until now. If you've listened to this show for a while, you have, but maybe this is your first time. Just know that they were insanely powerful. Crazy powerful. And it's not just that they walked into companies and change the makeup of the company, they'd get money. Hey, don't think that you can just pack a couple gays on the company board and that's going to be enough. I need $100,000. $100,000 for my company. Now, activism. We have to buy a whole new carton of pink feather boas. I need you to buy them for us. Now, that's how it did work. And companies, again, always afraid, would hand over their scores at the end of the year to the Human Rights Campaign. Essentially, what it really was a piece of paper saying, please don't beat me anymore. Hey, HRC, it's me, Coca-Cola. Look how many black people I hired. We basically fired all the whites and everyone's a lesbian. Please don't hurt me. That's how it was. And then we have headlines like this in You Did This. Headline: DEI disclosure participation plummets among major companies as corporate pullback continues. The share of Fortune, this is from Fox Business, the share of Fortune 500 companies that publicly outlined their diversity, equity, and inclusion commitments fell by nearly two-thirds from a year ago, new research shows. The Human Rights Campaign Foundation released the latest version of its Corporate Equality Index on Tuesday, which showed a 65% decline in the number of Fortune 500 companies that chose to voluntarily submit their DEI policies for evaluation in the index. Companies are now telling the Human Rights Campaign representative who knocks on the door and says, may I come in? We have to have a chat. They're saying, no, we don't. Get out. And you know why corporate America found courage? Believe me, it's not because they ate their spinach this morning. It's because you started punishing them for it. And they're so mad about it. They're so mad that you have become an activist. Headline: Joe Scarborough melts down as Americans tune out the woke Super Bowl halftime show. A large percentage of Americans large enough to hurt the NFL, turned off the halftime show. It's a small act, isn't it? Did you actually do anything? Didn't felt like you did anything. It was just a little concert on the other channel. It didn't matter. Why do you think they're melting down? Why do you think they're still screeching and screaming about things like this on The View?
I think what's so interesting to me is, you know, this country seems to be one of the only countries in the world that is so proud of being monolingual and not being able to communicate in more than one language. And the fact of the matter is, in about 20 years, multi-ethnic people will be the majority in this country. So if you don't understand Spanish, maybe start taking a little Duolingo course.
Why do you think she had to need to lecture you? Because she's afraid. Here was Whoopi Goldberg trying to scold you out of it. How could you turn it off? What are you, a snowflake?
The truth of the matter is, you're not a large majority. And that's the mistake we make. Mm-hmm. You're loud, but you're not the largest majority.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to the people who say, well, this is not an American thing. This is not this. This is, you shouldn't be doing this. Those are not the majority of people. The majority of people are doing the work they need to do to take care of their families. They are not snowflakian because real people don't have time to be snowflakes.
Yeah.
Okay? Y'all, on the other hand, you are the most snowflakian people I've ever seen. Yeah. Everything bothers you. Oh, no, that's not the truth. That's not the real history. We shouldn't tell the truth about. People would be mad at us.
Why do you think they're trying to lecture you and guilt you out of it? They're even trying to use language that you've used on them. Are you snowflakian? Why? You have changed your buying habits with corporate America. You finally set aside this pathetic notion that we don't do boycotts, and you started letting your money go where your morals are, as we talk about so many times. Obviously, there's going to be money of yours that flows into bad companies, but now these companies don't want the Bud Light treatment. These companies don't want to get put through the ringer. It used to be all they had to fear was the Human Rights Campaign. Now they're afraid of you. And these communists, they know it. They never thought that would happen. They never thought corporate America would have to be afraid of you. But now they are. And that's a good thing. Emails next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. If you missed any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I have to warn you, after we get to some emails, we're going to have to play some of this congressional hearing with the Border Patrol guys and the ICE guys. And, of course, our old friend Sri Tandahir was there. I mean, here's just a little sample.
You will go to Bangkok Palace. Now there is a new Maharaja. And again, the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place. Kill my people.
What, Chris? We have to talk to about him in a bit. Let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse, the subject of this one is man card. Oh, here we go. Jesse, one of our friends lost his man card and we need a solution on what he needs to do to get it back. You see, he came out to the bar with the guys and ordered a water and an ice cream and acted gay. How should we proceed? I'm never telling you guys anything again. There's nothing wrong with ordering some ice cream at a bar and having a water. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I don't need to be belittled all the freaking time. What, Chris? I don't need this from you. What? Chris said I didn't even have like a Coke. Okay. It was the evening. All right. I didn't want to take the chance on messing up my sleep by having caffeine late in the evening. I realize this is making me sound worse the more I talk. There's nothing wrong with water, Chris. You know what's sad? What? What do you want? Chris said I could have just not gone. Well, some of us prefer to be social, Chris. All right. Don't laugh at me. I'm a social butterfly, as everyone knows. Oh, did I tell you? I think I already told you this. Oh, it's the worst news ever. The Republican National Convention. Have you ever been to a convention? Now, it's really going to depend on the type of person you are whether or not you are the type of person who should go to a convention. I have been to two in my life. The first one, I think it was 2012. I was working in politics, so I went to that one. It was in Tampa, which I'm in love with Tampa. Love you, WFLA. I was in Tampa. I love Tampa, so that was kind of cool. Then I went to the last one in Milwaukee. Now, I enjoy Wisconsin, and this is nothing against Milwaukee at all, which actually I quite enjoyed, but I don't want to go talk to people. Hold on, Chris. Let me finish my thought. I don't want to go talk to people. I like doing the show from a studio. And now it doesn't have to be our studio here in Houston. We love to visit other affiliates and do it from their studios. We just got back from San Antonio. We love bouncing around and visiting. But the beauty of a studio is this. I try to be mindful of the fact that I'm doing a show for you, not for me. It's for you. I already have my thoughts. They've been rattling around in my head all day long in my stupid jokes. I'm trying to make your drive home a little better. It's for you. If I leave this tightly controlled environment and go out to do a public show anywhere, even the convention, it doesn't sound as good. It just doesn't. And then people are always coming up, hey, can I do an interview? Can I do it? What, do you have anything interesting to say? Or are you about to bore everybody with your talking points for 10 minutes? Then, as soon as the show is over, to make it even worse at these conventions, and this may be your thing, everybody wants you to go do a thing with them. Hey, there's going to be a big speech at 8 o'clock. You want to go? Hey, everyone's gathering for a party for this particular group. You want to go? No, I don't want to go see a speech. No, I don't want to go to a party. No, I don't want to do any of these things. I want to eat and then be left alone for the rest of the night. That's what, Chris? What? Chris said, so I need the convention to be at a Red Lobster. Well, I'm glad you asked, because that brings up another point. Another thing that has happened in this country is communists are murderous savages. And that's not just me talking on the radio. They assault people and kill people and try to kill people all the time because communists are naturally demonic, violent people. And so inevitably, they end up committing acts of violence. As a result, the convention in Milwaukee was like walking in and out of a maximum security prison. You cannot imagine the fencing, the gating, the security was there. Remember, Trump had just been shot in the head. So they were painfully aware of the fact that communists are disgusting, violent people. It's if there was a Red Lobster there, you had to walk several blocks through several security checkpoints to get to the Red Lobster that was 50 feet away. It's not like you just walk in and say, can I have some cheddar bays? Oh, no, no. It's like Mission Impossible breaking into the CIA trying to go get some actual decent food. So don't pretend like you're living it up either. I don't want to go to parties. I don't want to do a radio show in public where people will talk to me. I don't want to go to this event. I don't give a crap about political speeches. I want to do a show that sounds good for you, and then I want to go home and I want to go to sleep. I want to watch a documentary. I want to read a book. I want to be left alone. Now, I have two bits of bad news, and I honestly don't know which is worse. I don't know which is worse. When I left Milwaukee, I told Clay and Buck this because they went to Milwaukee too. Premier did a big thing there. They had a big, nice stage. It was very nice. But I told them, I said, I'm never going to another one. That is the last convention I'm ever going to. I don't want to be invited to things. I want to be left alone. That's what I want. And they were just dying laughing, right? Because they're such social butterflies. I'm like, I'm not going. You can go. I ain't going. Do you know where the convention is in 2028? It's in Houston. How exactly am I going to explain to the suits that I'm not going when the next convention is where I live? What exactly am I going to tell them when I say I don't want to go? Oh, but we'll get you a name badge. I don't want a name badge. But you can get into this. I don't want to get in. You don't understand. I don't want to be within 20 city blocks of it. I don't want to talk to everybody. Now, if I run into you at Red Lobster, I'll talk to you. I want to talk to individuals. I don't want to go to a big event where everyone talks to me. That sounds awful. But wait, there's more. Because they're worried about the results of the midterms, Republicans have decided, and it's probably the smart political move, they're going to do a midterm convention. That almost never happens. They want a big rally. Rallies do work. They help people. So, you know, Trump will be there. JD will be there. Every heavy hitter in the Republican Party will be there. Well, obviously, you know exactly my first thought. I'm not going. You can have all the midterm conventions you want. Well, maybe we'll talk about it from here, but I'm still not going. You know where this one is? Dallas. It's 3 hours away. How am I supposed to lie to the suits to get out of this one, Chris? Can you come up with an excuse of some kind that will work for us? A misanthrope? What's that mean? I do not hate people. No, that's not true at all. I love individuals. It's this big group thing that I know I left halfway through the Super Bowl, Chris. I had something else I wanted to do back at the house. It's not that I needed to beat traffic. Don't make it out to be something else. I wasn't into it. I don't watch the NFL. I didn't even know any of the players. I didn't want to watch the game. I got a half of hanging with my friends. I mooched all their food, and then I went home. I don't want to go to conventions. Never again. Never again. And now, of course, the next two are right next to my house. Total disaster. I'm going to need to up my chalk. That's what I'll do. You know, because chalk at least gives you energy. At least you'd be in a better mood. If I didn't have a male vitality stack from chalk running through my veins, I would walk into these big events and it would just be like a storm cloud all around me. That's what it would be like. Like an angry storm cloud. Now, at least I have the energy to get through an hour or two of talking to people before the cloud descends. And I owe all that to the male vitality stack from chalk. At the end of the day, I actually at least have the energy and the mood to venture out and go do things where people talk to me. Do you want that energy? I'm not saying you have to do what I do. You don't want that. But do you want that energy? They have female vitality stacks for the ladies. This is all natural. Natural herbal supplements. Male vitality stacks for the men. Chalk lit powder for the morning. Get your day started right. CHOQ. Go get a subscription. You're 90 days away from feeling like a different person. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse. Last week, you hinted that many radio and TV hosts or podcasters may not be sincere. They just want viewers. That reminded me of Joe Scarborough. I watched him many years ago. I was just waking up politically. I loved this show as a Republican commentator. I was shocked years later when I saw him on MSNBC as a lefty. Was he faking it then or is he faking it now? Well, does it matter? And let me explain. This is what I mean by that. If you have a guy who fights for your army, and he is the truest of true believers for your army and your cause, and then you wake up one day and you find out he has crossed the battlefield, he has joined the enemy camp, and now he fights for their army and loudly proclaims their cause, does it matter which one he's honest about? It tells you everything you need to know about a person who would do such a thing. You see this oftentimes in the media world, certainly in the podcast and radio and TV world, where people will leave or bounce around to different employers and they'll just kind of wear the skin suit motivation of whatever employer they happen to be working for, and then they'll move on to the next one, and they'll change there, and they'll move on to the next one, and they'll change there. You brought up Joe Scarborough, who was, when he was just starting out, thought of as, you know, a conservative, a common sense conservative type. And now he's just a Trump-hating idiot on MSNBC, or what do they call it? MS Now or something like that. And it's the liberal line all day, every day. And you wonder which one was the real one. Well, the truth is he's probably just someone who wanted fame and fortune. We always have to be aware. We have to try to be aware, I should say. If the people we're listening to, if the people we're watching actually believe, actually care, or do they just want money and fame? You have any idea what TV people make on these major networks? It's crazy money. Crazy money, the money TV people make. I'm talking the major networks. The major networks you watch or I watch. The ABCs, NBCs, CBSs, Fox News, CNNs, all these types. You sit down and you do an hour-long television show in the evening sometime. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. Obviously, different time slots will be different levels of lucrative, but all of these people make millions. Millions of dollars a year. Millions of them. For the easiest job in the world. And when you're in television on, think about this as far as easy life goes, when you're on television for a major network like that, it's not like you ever really have to have your own thoughts. You have an army of staffers and writers and producers behind you. Now, I want to clarify that there are some really good people there, some true believers who put a lot of work in. I know a couple guys who they write their own monologue. They do all that stuff. But lots of these guys don't do anything. Someone will just write everything for them, and they'll put it on the teleprompter, and the anchor sits there with his perfect hair and his white teeth, and because he's got an army of everything, he doesn't really do anything but talk into the camera for 40 minutes and say things other people wrote and ask questions other people wrote and signs off, and he's making $3-4 million a year. Jewish producer Chris just looked it up because, of course, he did. Joe Scarborough's estimated salary is $8 million a year. If I ever got $8 million in 1 year, I'd never have to work again in my life. We just save our money. We didn't grow up. I mean, we didn't come up making anything, so we just sock our money away. $8 million a year, you never have to work again. That's every year. If you don't have anything you actually believe in, and you're just in it for the Lamborghinis or whatever it is you're into, well, something you got to be aware of. You also have to be aware of this. The conquerors who've invaded this country, they don't just invade and collect a welfare check. They're here to conquer. Here's our old friend Sri Tandahar. He came here from India. Now he sits there with his bad toupee in Congress. And he sits down and he gets to question the commissioner of Border Patrol, Rodney Scott's his name. The foreigner who luxuriates in our country and sits in a seat of power now talks to the man in charge of protecting the border and asks him things like this.
Do you believe President Trump will pardon you?
I'm not going to speak on behalf of President Trump, but I'll tell you, I signed up for this job to protect America, and I'm very proud of the service that I provide, and I don't need a pardon from anybody.
Well, you better hope so. You better hope you get being pardoned, because you will be held accountable for the absolute disregard of the law your agencies have shown over the past year. Your agencies have lost the trust of the American people. And that's why I introduce a bill in the United States Congress to abolish ICE.
Just think about that state of affairs. We have foreigners we bring here out of the good graces of our heart. Naive, but good graces. We not only allow them to stay here, we oftentimes hand them generous government benefits of money stolen from you, the citizen. After luxuriating here, enjoying the wonderful cleanliness of America, not streets running with poop, These people then take positions of power inside of the government, and they wage war against the government officials who are trying to protect the border and deport foreigners. That's where we are. This is where we are, that these people sit in Congress and they have the legal right to interrogate the ones who keep us safe. Can you imagine sitting there as the head of Border Patrol and listening to this?
You will go to Pangkot Palace. Now there is a new Maharaja. And again, the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place. Kill my people.
All right. We'll touch on this a little bit more because I know you're going to find this shocking, but the communists lied. Big lie, too. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.